Have you ever been so absorbed in a story that you lost all sense of time?
Your brain wasn't just entertained. It was responding to an evolutionary imperative as ancient as humanity itself.
Our brains don't process reality directly. They create a controlled hallucination that transforms chaos into meaningful narratives, with ourselves as the protagonists.
This storytelling mechanism helps us make sense of an overwhelming world, filtering constant sensory information into coherent experiences we can understand.
Language itself likely evolved primarily for social storytelling, allowing our ancestors to share moral tales that maintained tribal cohesion.
As we gathered around fires, we weren't just keeping warm. We were transmitting crucial survival information and cultural values.
Even infants demonstrate an innate ability to recognize basic story structures, suggesting narrative comprehension is hardwired into our neural circuitry from birth.
Our brains are fundamentally change detection machines, 86 billion neurons constantly scanning for alterations that might require our attention. This explains why compelling story openings often feature disruption. Mother died today, Camus, or Kafka's man becoming an insect.
Change forces characters to act, and that's when story truly begins.
What we perceive as reality is actually a sophisticated hallucination. Though we feel we're observing the world directly, our senses provide only limited information. Our high-definition vision covers just thumbnail width. We have blind spots, and we're blind 10% of the time while blinking. Our brain constructs reality from electrical signals, checking for unexpected changes through eye movements. This explains phenomena like mistaking a tree stump for a person or missing obvious things in our visual field, the invisible gorilla experiment. Reality itself differs from our perception. There's no sound, color, or pain out there, just our brain's interpretation of signals. Effective storytelling exploits the brain's model-making abilities. Fantasy writers create immersive worlds through specific naming and technical details. For young readers, Tolkien's maps make imaginary places as tangible as real locations. The most effective world-building happens not on the page, but in readers' minds.
Consider Mr. B, a psychotic man convinced the FBI secretly films him for the Mr. B show. Despite contrary evidence, he remains fixed in his delusion. One part of his brain attempts to explain abnormalities in another, creating a distorted reality he cannot recognize as false. We all resemble Mr. B in milder ways. Our perception contains distortions we cannot recognize. When confronted about mistakes, we instinctively dismiss contradicting evidence. This blind spot bias affects everyone, each convinced of their objectivity, while easily spotting others' biases. These cognitive distortions make us uniquely flawed. Our flaws define our character. Who we are is how we're broken. In stories, protagonists begin with specific flaws that help readers empathize. Hamlet's paralyzing indecision, Elizabeth Bennet's prejudice, or Walter White's pride drive their stories while making them human. When designing characters, consider their theory of control, how they've learned to manipulate their world. Someone who experienced childhood abandonment might develop an excessive need for control, while another raised in chaos might embrace unpredictability. These coping mechanisms become central to their decision-making and relationships.
We are all protagonists in narratives crafted by our consciousness. Our brains function as hero makers, distorting reality to maintain our sense of moral superiority and personal agency. When neural models encounter contradictory information, we respond as if facing physical danger. The amygdala activates, stress hormones surge, and rational thinking diminishes. We dismiss opposing views while seeking validation from like-minded sources. Our brains engage in selective memory,
rewriting memories to support our self-image. Studies show people consistently misremember their selfish behaviors, even when incentivized for accuracy. We judge ourselves by intentions, while assuming others act from base motives, a fundamental attribution error. This hero-maker delusion drives human suffering. Even history's most notorious tyrants believed themselves morally justified. Research shows violence stems primarily from inflated self-esteem and moral idealism, the conviction of personal superiority.
Charles Foster Kane saw himself as champion of the downtrodden, but after his failed gubernatorial campaign, his drunken friend delivers a devastating truth. You talk about the people as if you owned them. You don't care about anything except you. Who is this person is the fundamental question driving all stories. It emerges when protagonists behave unexpectedly and resurfaces with each choice they make. Where this question exists, readers remain engaged. Where absent, they disengage. Most of us don't truly know ourselves. The inner voice narrating our lives, generated by speech circuitry in our brain's left hemisphere, isn't trustworthy. Though it feels like us, it's merely observing our neural models and explaining them. It's not lying, but confabulating, telling fictional stories we believe are true. We are not single selves, but multiple competing versions. The author describes his struggle with food cravings, where Captain Abstemious dominates Monday mornings with rigid self-discipline, only to be replaced by Wednesday evening by Billy Pillack Jr., who believes middle-aged men deserve treats.
Stories operate on two levels, the visible plot events and the subconscious neural models, that stewing night ocean of feelings, urges, and broken memories, where competing impulses battle for control. This deeper realm houses characters' fears, repressed desires, and driving beliefs. In effective storytelling, surface drama interacts constantly with characters' subconscious worlds. As neural models fracture under pressure, repressed aspects emerge, creating unexpected behaviors. External conflicts force buried truths to surface. Characters typically want one thing consciously, while subconsciously needing something different. The most compelling protagonists embody this contradiction. Their perceived desires directly oppose their unwitting needs. They might pursue wealth while actually needing authentic connection, or chase romantic conquests while seeking self-acceptance. In American Beauty, Lester Burnham's midlife crisis drives him to pursue youth through a fast car and infatuation with his daughter's friend. Yet when finally given the opportunity with Angela, he comforts her instead, revealing his true need was to mature and reclaim his authentic self.
We each inhabit uniquely foreign neural worlds, alone in our black vault of consciousness. We respond differently to humor, music, and stories. In art, we seek the connection we crave in friendship and love, storytellers who capture the music of our inner struggles. Story functions as both tribal propaganda and its antidote. Research shows stories portraying others positively improve attitudes toward those groups. Story's gift is wisdom transmitted across generations, like Julian Barnes' insight about the heart being heavy, squat, bloody, clamped tight like a violent fist, that comforted the author during adolescent heartbreak. Story's fundamental lesson is humbling. We don't know how wrong we are. Our emotional reactions often reveal our most fragile neural models, where our perception is most warped. Story breaks through our masks, allowing us to enter another's flawed mind and discover we're not alone in our brokenness. In a world of superficial connections, stories remain our most powerful tool for authentic human understanding, reminding us that shared vulnerability makes us human.